Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm your oldest and recently the second tallest host, Ian Cornicelli.
Hi, I'm Ethan Barham. I am your second oldest and tallest host this time.
You said that like a...
I really had to think about that. That was really sad.
He said his own name.
Barham.
He said his own name like a Barham. Robot would say it, trying to impersonate him.
Yeah. I'm Bryce Cornicelli, and I am the world's shortest podcast member.
I don't think that's true.
And joining us, I'm very excited to introduce you to the most interesting podcaster in the universe, Roland. I don't know what your last name is.
Parker.
Roland Parker.
Yes, that's it.
Say what's up.
Not much. I'm the third tallest guest. Is that how?
Correct.
Okay, got it. We were trying to figure it out before, or I was, but they knew it.
James.
And then...
Claire.
Then
you.
Then me.
Then our older sister, Mackenzie.
Shout out Mackenzie.
Shout out Mackenzie.
Yeah, you did it right. Also,
double nice. Shout out to Mackenzie. No, we will never have a guest shorter than her. Can we find
That's
one?
Probably That's, true.
Do those
legally
exist?
Old
I
enough
don't know.
To be in a podcast?
Legally old.
So, what if you
Can
just
we
made
get,
it?
What is the legal age? What's the legal age to be on a podcast? Because I would love to get a baby on this podcast if we could.
I don't think there is a legal age. Unless you're kidnapping them or something. That's the only illegal part of it.
Podcast. When okay. I have a baby, I'll let it be on the podcast in like 10 years when we're still doing this. All right. Well, Roland, it is great to have you here. It's truly an honor to have you in our presence. I met you like 3 minutes ago, and it's been a delightful. Bryce, do we have some housekeeping?
Yes.
Also,
part of housekeeping. Go ahead.
I would like to say it has been a long time since I've been on this podcast, and I'm very glad to be back. All right. Bryce?
So, first thing I think we should do in podcasting is just kind of – see what's up with Roland, see what's up in Roland's world over here, since I think he's probably definitely the least known guest we have out of, like, the people who listen to the podcast. So
sure.
For reference,
true.
I have met Roland once, Ian just met Roland, Ethan is deeply in love with Roland, correct?
Very true.
Right.
As you will be very Patton. Soon.
Yep, Patton is also deeply in love with Roland.
See, that's funny because we actually had a running joke at camp this year that me and Patton got married for tax purposes when he was filling out his W-4 and I-9.
That does not surprise me at all. So tell us, who are you? Tell us some stuff about you.
I'm Roland. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama. I met Ethan and Patton through Camp Arrowwood, where I'm currently working as a program director.
Yeah,
it's super fun. I go to Maryville College, where I met my fiance, Tabitha Edwards. Shout out, Tabitha Edwards.
Woo!
Yeah.
Shout out.
She's the best. But yeah, it's Camp Arrowwood.
Yeah. We went to, worked our first year together.
Mm-hmm.
So
very nice.
Very special bond.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I know what I can do. One way to tie myself into the podcast. There was one time where Patton was talking about how he ran out into the gravel and like sliced a piece of his foot off of the quarter.
Mm.
Yeah. So what he failed to mention was, I was the person that was chasing him and made him go into the gravel. So as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, he's being really nice.
It's okay.
So in other words, you
and
were way faster than him. You were just hunting him down like a wild dog.
That's the moment you knew you had to be on the podcast, when he sheltered your name from that story.
That's true. That was kind of rude of him. Although we should mention, we're very sad. I have some very sad news, which is that Patton injured his ankle again, and they had to replace it with a rocket. And that's actually the reason he's not on this podcast, was because after they amputated his ankle and put a rocket on there, they gave him instructions on how to use it, but they were like IKEA instructions, so he didn't know how they worked, and he just pressed a button, and he actually just lifted off into the air. He was last seen somewhere over the Indian Ocean going about Mach 5, so if you find Patton, return him to us, please.
If your house gets hit by a Patton missile, please call the local authorities.
The Patton missile. Maybe entitled to compensation.
Now, if only they'd replaced his foot with a boomerang, we'd have him back by now.
It's true.
Very true. Or if the rocket was strong enough for orbit, then he'd just come right back.
True.
After a couple trips.
Yeah. Yeah. He shouldn't have turned. That was his problem. It went straight up.
All his flailing. He shouldn't have flailed so much. He would have actually gone straight.
I mean, Patton doesn't more really strength. Flail. It's a well-known fact that Patton kind of flops. That's his.
He is a bit of
his,
a noodle.
He's a bit of a noodle. A human noodle. A doodle. A doodle? Whatever.
He's a noodle boy.
Moving on. Housekeeping, Bryce, go.
Sorry, I got way sidetracked. Surprise. Here we go. We have an email, which is scrubpodcast@gmail.com. You can email us, ask us questions, give us advice.
Bryce's face just turned sideways.
Yep. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what that was.
Bryce, your face!
Oh, no! Oh, my phone was trying to update. Sorry. My bad, guys. That was my phone. Okay. Yeah, so you can email us. Tell us beautiful, wonderful things. Mm. Ask Roland questions.
Yeah.
He'll
if
just,
I'm here
you know,
or not.
Yep.
Yep.
We'll find the answers.
Yeah. Just you. Based on your 3 minutes of interacting with me, you have to determine what you think I would answer. Just give it your best guess. Like, I think
know you're Roland.
Yeah, I don't really know Roland, but he seems like a Leo. You know. Just...
We also have a Twitter, which is @scrub_cast. You can follow us, find out when we post our episodes late, and whatever else we do on Twitter, which is honestly not much. You can also subscribe to us on YouTube, but don't do that. There's only four episodes up.
Oh,
please don't,
Patton.
Oh,
we'll
Patton.
Get those up one day. We'll get those up one day.
Maybe.
I guess I could do that. I don't know how to, but I'm sure it's easy.
Yeah, it's not.
I think I said that last episode.
We'll talk about
anyway,
that later.
Do we have any other housekeeping? I feel like there was something else.
I believe we have some emails to answer.
Yeah. Emails, we do. This is good. I'm excited that we're here. We got some banger emails.
Okay.
Let me do Mackenzie's email.
Yeah.
Shout out Mackenzie.
Shout out to Mackenzie.
This is a very good email. It is directed at Ian. The title is A Dream for Ian.
A Dream for Ian.
Sounds like
here we go. I heard this dream.
A really
it's
good like album.
A dream for Ian.
It is.
That is, dude. That's an emo album.
That's like an album that someone would write about me. An emo person would write about me.
All right. Are we ready?
I guess I'm ready. Okay. All right.
Dear Scrub Brothers, I recently dreamt that James and I were traveling to a lake house for vacation. When we arrived, it turned out that the lake house belonged to Ian and Bryce's grandparents. Ian was also with them and told us that they were about to leave so we could go ahead and bring our things in the house. All caps, this part's in all caps. Then I realize they are pushing a stroller, period. And inside the stroller is all caps, baby Ian. The buzz cuts. It's So Ian's pushing himself.
Baby me.
Yes. Baby Ian and adult Ian. Let me continue.
I think we just found the cover of the album.
That's perfect.
That's amazing. A dream for Ian. Is this two Ians? That's so funny. Okay. The buzz cut, the round head, and sweet grin and all. So adult Ian and baby Ian are standing there as though this is completely normal. And I'm internally freaking out, but I don't want to be rude. So I just go inside the house. End of dream, period. Much love, Mackenzie.
I didn't want to be rude. I didn't want to impose.
I didn't want to impose by questioning this sort of time paradox you've gone on. Sort of time just voyage. Maybe it's a clone, actually.
Two Ians.
Would I have a clone of myself as a baby? Maybe. If the prices were right.
Can I be honest with you, Ian, right now?
Yeah.
I love you as a brother.
Yeah.
But it is my worst nightmare to have you as an older brother and a younger brother. Can you imagine how terrible younger brother Ian would be?
Oh, the worst. The worst.
Ugh.
I like me where I am. Question. If there was a clone of Ian, and I went ahead and told him about the spine thing, do you think they would, like, pre-insert the metal? And so it could just grow with him, you know, do it as a kid?
Metal doesn't grow, Ian.
It's like you could do a telescoping.
Okay.
Just wondering.
You just put, like, a car, like an old car antenna, and you just...
Yeah.
Or like you just staple it into his discs so that it just as he gets taller it just kind of solidifies and stays good.
Man,
that's very good. This is like this Black Mirror up... only just Ian.
I would love to get my own Black Mirror episode.
That's the title of the Black Mirror episode. A dream for Ian.
A dream for Ian.
Then the next episode is like Mackenzie in a virtual reality machine, but Ian's actually like in charge of it and making everyone do his bidding.
Mm.
Everyone's like making him ice cream.
Yeah.
took a light turn, not a dark turn.
This has brought up a lot of questions in my head. Foremost of which, would I be a good parent to a baby me?
Oh my gosh. No.
I feel like no. Because I wouldn't put up with my own crap. I'd be like, I know you're lying. Because I would be lying.
Can I be honest with you, Ian?
Yeah.
You would weigh so much more than you did your entire childhood, because you would just be feeding yourself like Doritos.
Yeah. No, are you kidding me? I would want myself as a protector. I would be feeding him like protein powder from day one. I want to go right where I went wrong.
Oh.
I want to make this kid out of iron.
You just train like you just train him up to his like complete physical and like intellectual potential. Just like
exactly.
It's like twins, but with yourself, and there's a time paradox involved.
Way better.
And there's no Danny like, DeVito.
Maybe that's what it takes to raise the ultimate Ian. Is a normal Ian. You know?
Oh.
Wait, let me ask you this.
I could pick every point in his life where I went wrong and steer him right.
Oh.
So let me ask you this.
Yes.
When Ultimate Ian, as I'm calling him now, Ultimate Ian.
Yes.
Ulta Ian.
Yes, Ultimate Ian.
For short. When he grows up, does he then have another, does he meet the baby Ian again?
Oh.
Has Ian somehow created an eternal cycle of Ian?
Well, he raises Ian the Universe Devourer.
Oh.
But then in the third act of the movie, they call me back in to raise another Ian who is the Universe Saver. It's a whole thing. There's a whole franchise is what I'm saying.
No, wait.
Dream for Ian 1, Dream for Ian 2, Dream for Ian, family vacation. Dream for Ian, the last chapter.
Ianception.
Ianception. That's where I go into the Ian dream 7. Of another Ian. And go down through Ian the levels 7, of Ian.
Carrollton Ian. Drift.
Ian 7, Carrollton Drift. No, at the end of the movie, what happens is normal Ian shows up and saves the day, and we realize we didn't need Ultimate Ian. We really just needed normal Ian the whole time.
That's right. I like this movie.
So positive.
The problem with Ultimate Ian is that he's bound to create Universe Destroyer Ian.
It's tragic.
Ian.
Yes.
Dude,
that's a reference only Ethan gets.
Oh my gosh, dude, there was a bunch of us like at like a lake house or something, and we were trying for hours to figure out what it meant. And he would like only like answer in like yes or no. Yes or no is like, is it? But and we had to figure out all the words like individually, and it took us like hours. We're like, Destroyer of Light and. Just like we were just like trail off.
Oh,
we couldn't like figure it out for a while. Yeah.
Are we
wait?
Are we talking about Doladake?
Yes.
As in Destroyer.
wait. leave it at what Roland says. Fans, okay. People out there listening, finish the sentence. Unless you already know it, that's cheating.
Yeah. Decipher Doladake. We'll give you the first word is Destroyer. You can go from there.
Yeah.
Doladake.
You got Destroyer of Light. That's all they got so far, I think. There is so much noise happening in my house right now. This recording is going to be ridiculous.
Now, after we've had all this Ian talk, I can just shout out future Ian trying to make your your recording even remotely good.
Future Ian, baby Ian, how many more Ians will we find on this episode of Scrubcast?
You look really closely, there's tiny Ians all over it. Look behind you. Listener at home, look behind you. Look slightly to the left. That is the shadow of an Ian that was once there.
All right, do we want to move really on to the scary. Next email?
Yes.
Yeah. Did I just say email?
Ian mail.
Okay, it can't be all about you, Ian. Enough.
That last one was an Ian mail. Look, I'm just reveling in an email about me that wasn't complaining.
Ian mail is very good. If you'd like to send an Ian mail to us, scrubpodcast@gmail.com.
Complaining or not complaining, clicks or clicks, man. I'll take fame whether I'm a demon or an angel.
All right, are we ready? This is. I also love this email.
Yes, I'm ready.
This is very good. This is from one Joshua Beam.
Joshua Beam. Okay.
Josh, you're out there. What's up, buddy?
Shout out to Josh.
Shout out, Josh.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know what Ethan was doing. Ethan looked like he was mouthing something, but I don't know what he was trying to say.
No, I wasn't mouthing anything.
He was just definitely chewing on stuff. Air.
I think I was licking my lips, and that was it.
Okay, listener at home, go back a few seconds, and you will hear the sound of Ethan licking his lips in the silence.
put it on 1 point. Put it on like 0.75 speed, and just. Oh my gosh. I know that I'm gonna go back and listen to this, and I'm just gonna be disgusted with myself for like participating in this noise making.
That's how I feel after most like. Podcasts.
Welcome
There's
to the life.
A little bit of regret,
Roland.
A little bit of shame.
Regret and shame should be the alternative title for this podcast.
Sometimes every 3 episodes you come up with something that you thought happened, but turns out you're the only person who remembered, and then everyone judges you for it. I mean, things happen.
Sometimes you insert John Mayer into beloved childhood movies.
No.
Ian wasn't even here for the McKinsey Lego building Lego chewing fiasco.
No, I wasn't.
But we won't get into that.
Okay. I'll have
Let's
to go back
to
and
this
listen
email.
To that. All right. Read the email. Joshua.
The email is a question that's real, which I love. That's a very Joshua thing to write.
Question that's real. Okay.
Also, that implies that none of our other questions have been real up to this point.
That would be correct. We did argue about bowls one episode for like 30 minutes.
Very true.
In the all dark right, here beginning we go. Days.
Oh my gosh, this email. Okay. Hey, Scrubs.
Hello.
I like how you talked about your Boy Scout pooping adventures, but none of them compare to the time I drank. I drank the largest QT ice drink and mistakenly diarrheaed my pants.
What? if you drank the largest QT icy drink, you did not mistakenly diarrhea. It was predestined.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, what?
He drank the largest QT icy drink and mistakenly diarrheaed in his pants. The worst part is, I didn't bring any underwear, so I wore the same poopy pair all weekend.
No.
I was probably on this trip. I was probably sitting next to Josh on this trip.
Josh, does he say which camp out it is?
No, he does not.
Joshua, I need you to follow up email and tell us what trip this was and if we were on it.
I don't know if I want to know if I was on it. I gotta be honest.
I want to know. I want to know.
Do you think he was just standing like 5 feet back from every like group, like, meeting, just like hoping like no one could smell like the residual like poop in his shorts? Just
like, Josh, just, what's up? Why have you been avoiding everyone this whole time?
Hey man, are you okay? Everything okay at home? Like, why are you not getting close to anyone?
Dude, you're sleeping in a 10-man tent by yourself. Are you okay? Wait a minute. He couldn't have just asked someone else on the camp out?
I don't know.
No, that wouldn't make any sense.
Are you saying you would have too much dignity for that, Roland, or just
yes?
That he,
yes. Young Josh did
I
not
wear
have
my
too
poopy shorts
dignity.
On my sleeve.
Roland be like, yo, I'm wearing these. You all know about it. I ain't changing until the end of this camp out.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, who wants a tent with me? Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to be taking that tent by myself. you can try and come in, but you're not going to sleep very well. Just laying awake knowing that your eyes are watering because of me.
What's that? This is your hammock? Oh, it's mine now. Sorry, I'm here. You want to come on in with me?
It's mine forever.
So I can just ask, just like, imagine, like, hey, who wants to lead this hiking trip for the next few miles or so? And he just, like, from the back, just, like, kind of with an evil grin, just, like, raises his head. Yeah, all right.
I'm getting strong updraft. What is that?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. Anyway, sorry. I got we're getting a little carried
continue
away.
Continue the email.
Okay. So he drank the largest QT ice drink.
Okay.
And I can't get over that.
I'm
Why
still,
did he do that?
I'm still like, yeah, I'm still processing that information. I don't.
Digesting.
I love the mistakenly too. Yeah. As if he didn't know something bad was going to happen if he drank 48 freaking, I don't know, 48 liters of icy drink.
Can we get the actual numbers on the largest icy drink from QT?
Oh no, this wasn't the largest you can buy at any old QT. This was the largest ever made. This was like the size of a bathtub in my mind.
Largest Q QT drink cup. Let's just see. Let's see. Go into QT website, quality website.
Okay.
Fresh Brew QT. Oh, I get what you got there. I don't see the information on the drink size. I'm sure it's here somewhere, but I don't really want to spend the whole podcast searching the QT website.
Yeah, okay.
So we're going to just suffice to say that it's large. Is there anything else in the email?
Pretty large.
Yes, there is. We haven't even got to the question.
Oh, okay.
That was just an antidote before. Wait.
Antidote?
That's not the word I'm looking.
That's somehow
makes it
better.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Anecdote?
Anecdote?
That's it.
Ah.
Did you say antidote?
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I did. As soon as I said, I'm like, that's not the word I'm looking for. Okay, we gotta get through this.
Let's keep going.
As the email continues, anyways, exclamation mark, can you guys please put your minds together and discuss the three absolutely worst ways to break up with someone?
I've got it. Oof. Go on a camping trip with them. And drink the largest icy possible and diarrhea in your shorts and do not change them.
Solid.
Because then they will think you're incontinent and incompetent at the same time.
I feel like they would break up with you in that scenario, but I guess if you're planning it, it counts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I did. I guess I kind of forgot about that part. If you're orchestrating it and you get them to break up with you, I feel like that's...
Does that count?
That would work out. That might count. Might be. Okay. He asked for the worst ways to break up with someone. So I think we're looking for, like, most shock and, like, emotional trauma we can get.
Right. Okay. Send a letter to their mom,
okay,
saying that you break up with them. I feel like it would be bad to both get it through a snail mail letter and also have the news delivered by your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it'd be worse too if the mom is like, "Hey, I'm so sorry." And you're like, "About?"
Yeah.
Could you elaborate, please? Wow, this is really uncomfortable for me. Because then you're forcing the uncomfortableness on the mom and them. They're like, "Wow, did not see that coming."
You tell the mom as if you have already told the person that you're dating that you have broken up when you have not.
Yeah.
So when she goes to talk to this person about it, they find out through her, even though the mom thought that they already knew.
I mean, okay, I think you're actually hitting on a point that would make it, that would maybe be the worst in general, which is just go around telling everybody that you guys broke up.
Yeah, that's bad.
And not tell them.
Yes. That, I think that is a very important component of it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Alternative strategy. Buy a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Hand puppy to significant other. Aw, puppy's so cute. Play with puppy on the ground. Puppy rolls over. What are the words shaved into the fur on the puppy's stomach? I break up with you.
Not we're done. Not I need space. It's I break up with you.
I break up. It's like it's like very tiny to fit on the like fur of the stomach.
Oh gosh.
Okay, I've got one. Let's see how this see if you guys like this one.
Okay.
You fly your significant other out to Hawaii. You get a nice place to stay. You go out on the beach. And then you get down on one knee and you pull out, what's that? An air horn. And then you just blow it in their direction. And then you just run away without saying anything and leave them in Hawaii.
Oh my. Okay. What if you just had a microphone and you just went to like the most heavily crowded beach in Hawaii and you announced it to a bunch of people into a bunch of a mix of strangers and really close family that all think that you're gonna propose, and then you're just like, we're done, and here's the reasons why. It's not me, it's you, it's all your fault.
Very good.
Okay. All right. I've
got one.
New strategy.
Go ahead.
All right. So, your significant other arrives at your family's house for a dinner. This is going to require several levels of grifting and paying people off.
Okay. But perfect. Perfect for a breakup.
Your significant other arrives at your parents' house for a family dinner. You know, these kind of important relationship building family dinners. She knocks on the door. Your parents open the door with a questioning look on their face, asking who she is. When she or him, I'm not being judgmental here, when the significant other responds, "Oh, I'm dating your son. I'm here for dinner." They say, "Our son died 7 years ago."
Oh my!
She goes inside, and sure enough, she sees a lot of younger pictures of you, but they all halt around 7 years ago. When confronted with this and contacting other people, you have paid off all of your friends to back this story up. That yes, you did in fact die 7 years ago. You have to pay off a coroner. You have to pay off a lot of people. This is going to be a very financially difficult proposition. Then the parents take you to the gravestone that is yours, and it says your name, and under that it says, "I break up with you."
Oh my. And then you pop out from behind the gravestone or out of the grave.
Then you raise out of the grave and say, "Read the headstone." I don't know. I didn't get that far in my planning.
Read the stone in case you haven't already.
It's all on the stone. Read it and weep. Read it and weep.
Oh my.
That's the worst sentence to say when you're breaking up with someone. Read it and weep.
Read it and boom. Read it and weep is what you say when you're winning at Uno or like hearts during like family game night. It's not what you say when you break up with a significant other.
hand them a post-it note that says "I break up with you" on it. And just say "read it and weep."
Ian, I've got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
My idea I had pales in comparison to what you just laid before us. Can I go ahead and say it? Get it out there.
Get it out there.
All I was going to say is you pay off one of the employees in Disney who's in the Mickey Mouse costume to just walk up to her and just whisper that you broke up with them and you just walk away. Just, psst. Your boyfriend breaks up with you. Mm. And he just walks into the crowd. But it's just Mickey.
Jeez.
Wow. Thank you, Josh. Thank you. That was great. Great fun.
Okay, last thing. I do not want to know. Okay. Say it.
So, a step further from the you're dead prank.
Oh no.
Would be to manipulate it in a way that she starts to think that she's insane and she ends up in a home because of it.
And then who's their doctor? Why, it's you.
And then you say, have a different name.
I break up with you.
No, you act like you're a totally different person. Mm. And then you start dating her as that person. And then, I'm going too far. This is like a Nathan for you level of complexity.
And then she dates ultimate version Ian. And then Ian
and
Don. Oh, no!
And then in the sequel, she comes back helping universe devouring Ian. But then, you know, she comes to the light in the end and helps us defeat him.
Then she dates Baby Ian for a while, which is very inappropriate.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
I don't want to know what Joshua's going to use all that advice for. But hopefully well. Oof.
I don't know either. As far as I know, he's currently single, but maybe he's planning on dating someone and breaking up with them immediately, just to see what happens.
That's the real worst way to break up with somebody, is ask a podcast that you know is going to take it way too far. And then he's just taking notes. He's like, write that down now.
Okay, can I say now, one more thing about it, though?
Can I say one more thing? Okay, you say your thing. Then I'll say my thing.
We're going to just end up talking about this for the rest of the episode. That's fine. When you were saying the whole thing about you pretending to be dead, I just, in my head, I imagine, like, Prank versus Prank, or one of those, like, cringy YouTuber pranksters just having this elaborate prank, and the title's just, like, breaking up with my girlfriend pretending to be dead, emoji, 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 can't wait to see what happens, emoji, emoji, pretends to be doctor, emoji, emoji, pays off my parents and all my friends, emoji.
I wanted to say something, which is, I wanted to extend a service to all of our listeners. If you at home have someone that you want to break up with, I'll do it for you on air.
This is not good. I don't like how this is going at all.
Email podcast within the description, breakup request, and I will deliver the information. I will deliver the news on air. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Maybe I should say dissatisfaction guaranteed.
You gotta warn us, because I'm not gonna be on that episode.
They're gonna send it in the email.
I have too high levels of social anxiety for that situation.
Better yet, I will make my own episode. It's just like 2 minutes long of me breaking up with the person, and then we'll post it on the feed.
What would be worse too
is if you did like multiple people in an episode, and so they have to wait and listen to. They're like, man, I thought it was at 5:52, but now like we're at 7, and like I still haven't found it yet.
This is like 18 timestamps.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Ian's two quality new segments.
Oh, yes. So in my time off, I ventured across some very good news headlines, news stories. Here's how this is going to work. Here's how I want this to work. I'm going to read you the headline, and you guys are going to have to tell me how you think it went down.
Okay. Should I want to go last for one of the articles.
Okay. Should I go in chronological order?
Sure.
I'll go in chronological order. All right, here is the headline. Three Ventura County men arrested for illegal sale of avocados totaling more than $300,000.
What?
Is this an avocado heist?
I mean, how do you think this went down? Because I know how it went down. I want you to give me a brief description of how you think that went down. I'll read it again if you need to read it again for the juicy details.
Read it again.
Three Ventura County men arrested for illegal sale of avocados totaling more than $300,000.
Illegal sale of avocados?
The way this went down is the dumbest permit thing I've ever read.
Do you need a permit to sell avocados?
Oh my.
Just give me what you think it is, and then I'll explain what happened.
They've been stealing avocados from an avocado farm and selling them door to door.
No, it's actually it's actually dumber than that. Okay, it's dumber than that.
Oh my god.
Dumber than that.
How? Okay.
Roland, Ethan, you guys got anything?
All right. So, this avocado business was completely legitimate. Everything about it was completely fine. Operating at normal, perfectly regulated stuff. Then, they started to run into issues with health codes. Because somebody. didn't bring a change of shorts for the hiking trip through the middle of the avocado plant.
Interesting.
And they had a huge icy before. So they just went around touching all the avocados without washing their hands. And there was
Was a lot of avocados to touch. It was, would you say like $300,000?
$300,000.
Okay.
Ethan, anything?
No.
All right. Here is how it happened. These three men worked at a place called Mission Produce, which is a produce store. Facility or something. How they did this is they sold the avocados to customers who thought they were buying it from the business, but these people were just selling the avocados and pocketing the cash.
What?
Wow. I know, it's a miracle how they were caught. Just taking the avocados, just handing the avocados to people and putting the money in their pockets. That is the way it went down.
What? That's so brazen that it's business. Just insane.
And it was apparently a good enough plot that one of the guys got two more guys in on it. Like, look, dude, I've been making all this money on the side. I just take the avocados and I sell
them. Okay, yeah, but we do that. We do that anyway. No.
Yeah, but we do it. Sell them, we do it twice. But we do it again.
We'll do it again.
Marty, that's brilliant. How did you ever think of that?
Oh my gosh, you're just blowing my mind here. I would have never thought of such a thing. We just sell the avocados.
We should bring this on Shark Tank.
We just sell the avocados. Would love it. It's a money machine. That's what I'm telling you. It's a money machine.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
I have to interject here. I work at Old Smoky Distillery. Like during the school year, I work there because it's kind of fun. It's fine. It makes me be extroverted and whatever. But when I first started working there, there was a guy who got fired because he did something actually very similar to what these three guys did. Okay, yeah, so all right, so there's a sampling bar at the distillery, right? So that they can customers come up and they try the moonshine flavors and whatever, and they see what they want to buy. But how it works is you pay $5 and you get a coupon back that goes toward your purchase in the store, right? So that's the background. This guy went in to the trash after work and he collected upwards of 100 coupons. and instead of printing new coupons while he was working on the bar, he would just give them a trash coupon, one that had already been used up at the register, and he pocketed the $5. So he made $500 $500 not in tips, just cash that people gave him that he didn't put in the register. And then all of a sudden he didn't work there. I was like, hey, what happened to that guy? And they're like, we don't like to talk about it because we were doing it too. And I was like, okay, at least I know not to do that, I guess. Not that it ever occurred to me.
Wow. That's ridiculous. All right, Ian, hit us with the next one.
All right. I like this one better. This happened today, I think. Wait, let me confirm that it happened today.
What's that? A spicy meme?
This article is updated today. I think it happened. Okay.
Fresh, hot, piping spicy meme.
Shout out to Claire. Okay, I'm going to read this. You tell me how this went down. A man with no arms stabbed a tourist in Florida, police say.
What? Tourist. A man with no arms stabbed a tourist in Florida.
I'm imagining a guy holding a knife in between his toes, hopping on one foot, trying to stab himself with hopping try to stab them with holding a knife in his toes.
The other okay, foot. But did he have it in his mouth like a pirate?
I'm telling you to give me your best guess on how this happened.
I'm saying he was going full pirate. Had it in his mouth.
Okay. What do you guys think? Roland?
Alright, I think what happened was he had an abnormal bone disease that caused him to have an extremely pointy bone growth that poked out the edge of his skin. So he was born without arms.
Some rhino man.
But on one arm, he had this really sharp, really long appendage. And he used it to defend, let's go with...
Flip-flop stand?
Flip-flop stand. Sure, why not a flip-flop stand? It is in Florida.
Oh, so he's a heroic person in your vision of this.
Yes, so this happened in Florida? Or where, yes. Where did that happen? Okay, I don't know why I'm surprised.
Nope.
So... He has control over it too, I think. So like he can like lengthen it as needed, like pole vault if he has to, like get over a gap. But that's how he does it. And he stabs someone, and the law finally caught up with him.
You may be surprised to find out that is not how it happened. But I like the colorful story.
Yes.
All right,
knife arm man, that famous superhero.
Ethan, do you have a?
The only thing I can think of is a guy with no arms, standing on one leg, holding a knife between his toes and the other foot, hopping around, trying to grab someone and kick them
on
or
God.
Stab.
Yeah. I will stab you with my knife.
And like having his leg up all the way to his chest, just poking at people with it.
That is not how it happened, but... Ethan is actually the closest of the three of you.
Okay.
What?
The man who did the stabbing was apparently a well-known street artist in the Miami Beach area who uses his feet to paint. Apparently a 22-year-old guy walked up to him to ask him for directions. And he was laying on his back with a pair of scissors in between his feet, and he just stabbed the guy.
What? For why?
He's laying on his back. All right, here's the situation. He's laying on his back. He's got scissors in between his feet. A person approaches him, and he just stabs him with it.
Wow.
I would like to also add to this story that apparently the guy that did the stabbing has had multiple run-ins with the police. His last conviction was when he was put 180 days in jail for felony battery on a police officer. This is a man with no arms, and he managed to achieve felony battery on a police officer. What? I cannot imagine how that
headbutting him like Monty Python, just kicking him in the shin.
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
It's merely a flesh wound.
But anyway, those are the two headlines I've been looking at all day and laughing at.
Wow.
Really a crazy world we live in.
That guy, you know what? He's breaking down barriers. He's doing things people didn't think were possible. If you're out there, I see you. I see you, man.
It's 2018.
Keep making...
You know?
Yeah.
If you ain't got no arms, you can still commit felony battery.
You can still stab someone
I
with
see
scissors.
You out there.
It's okay.
Keep making that art. Keep stabbing people.
You
don't,
protect
don't
that
fight
art.
The cops with no arms. Don't fight the cops, period. That's not going to work out for you. But stabbing people... I mean, if they deserve it. If they're asking for directions, I wouldn't recommend that, but...
Yeah.
You think he all was right. Just like, maybe I should. Like, I feel like he just got bored and decided to stab the guy.
I don't know. Maybe. Time will probably never tell.
He was like, He's like, what are they going to get me with? They can't handcuff me.
They're going to have to put a ball and a chain on one of his legs.
Man, I would watch this movie.
Like a Looney Tunes.
I would watch a movie about a criminal with no arms. That would be amazing. Oh, man. All right.
Roland's
Camp Adventure. A very exciting... All right. A very exciting title for our newest segment. Roland, will you do the honor?
All right. I have two camp stories. One that involves a friend of the pod, I think. I don't know. He probably listens. Does Alex listen to the podcast? He probably does.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
He has emailed us before.
Okay. Good deal. So the first year or the second year that Ethan and I worked at camp, We slept in this cabin, right? And Alex, if you know Alex, he may or may not have some strange sleeping habits, to say the least.
Okay.
So what Alex would do was he was at this bed that was right next to the door, and he didn't have sheets. He had one sheet, and he had like one blanket. And what he would do was he would take the blanket and he would tuck it under his ankles, like under his feet. Then he would take the top part of it and tuck it behind his neck. So he looked like a legitimate mummy. And he
wait like over his face.
Over his face.
You could see his face through the sheet because it was really stretchy.
Yeah.
He did it so tightly that you could see everything. So
tightly.
He could sleep with a blanket over his face?
Yeah.
Does he breathe through sort of gill-like appendage in a different part of his body? I can't imagine anything worse than that.
I was like kind of far away, but you could like kind of somewhat see like when he was inhaling and exhaling because the blanket would just suck in and out. So Alex would sometimes also snore.
Through the blanket?
You'd think he wouldn't have enough oxygen to even snore.
Yeah.
But
he was really gasping for breath.
Yeah. He was really pushing the boundaries of what is possible when it comes to sleep breathing. And so we had another guy that stayed in the cabin. There was probably like 10 of us or so about, but there was one guy that he was a particularly light sleeper, and he was at he's on the top bunk, basically on the same side, basically like the door frame's width away from Alex's bed, and he was on the top bunk, Alex is on the bottom bunk. And he would always wake up whenever Alex would be snoring. So one night he decided he'd had enough. So he got he got some material. It's really not gonna be as drastic as you think, but it is pretty so one night he got a bin of dominoes not Domino's pizza.
A bin of dominoes?
Like a tin, like an aluminum tin full of like dominoes.
I need to know what he did with them.
So what he would do is whenever Alex would snore, he would sit up in his bed and he would peg Alex with the top. Just full force. And it's not like Alex had that much protection. He was completely covered, but only by one blanket that was like conforming to the shape of his face. So he like would just get him in the middle of the night. I would wake up to the clatter of like four dominoes. They're like on the floor, like ding 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 ding. And I was like, oh, happened again. just gotta watch out for dominoes if you get up to pee in the night.
Hilarious. Just getting beaned by dominoes while he's sleeping.
Oh yeah, man.
And I legitimately don't know if Alex ever woke up. I think it would, like, disturb his sleep enough that it would, like, kind of reset his breathing so that he wouldn't snore for, like, I don't know, like, 20 minutes maybe. But I was... I couldn't... Like, looking back on that time in my life, I can't believe that it happened to me. Like yeah, just like, I was even in the room that for something like that to happen.
That's
a good story. I like that story.
Just to be clear, this is Alex, as in Ethan's cousin, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Shout out, Alex. Nice job, dude. Alex. How do you sleep? Email us in. Tell us how you sleep like that.
Yeah.
Please.
How you survive. Explain
the physics. I need you to explain the physics of that. We'll please get you on the podcast. Send it to the pod. To. Yeah.
Can I admit something to you guys? I feel like I know you all very well.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, this is a little sensitive. It's not real. I'm building up for no reason. One day, I woke up from a nice, solid, probably 12 hours of sleep. I had been sleeping the whole night, face down on the pillow, with my mouth wide open. I just woke up with my face on the pillow with my mouth wide open, and my pillow was just covered in drool.
Oh.
Now, you may be asking, did I wash the pillowcase after that? Probably not, because I was like 10.
Oh my goodness.
I probably flipped it over and slept on it the next night.
Cool side.
dry side.
Yeah, it's not the warm or the cold season on Bryce's pillow. It's the rainy or the dry season.
Yes.
I legitimately don't know how that happened.
Ethan, one time, Ethan was here for this. My first year at summer camp, I got my first, like, Charlie horse ever in the middle of the night while Ethan and I were sharing a tent, and I thought I was dying. you've been walking around all day, you're dehydrated because it's scout camp and it's your first year and you don't know what to do, and you just, like, collapse into bed at night, like, asleep, and I, like, collapsed into bed, and I woke up at, like, 3 in the morning, and my leg was on fire, and I couldn't move it. And I just remember this feeling of panic. You know the feeling of panic that happens when you, like, wake up directly out of sleep? There's, like, the first way that's like, and then there's the second way that's like, well, this is my life now. I'm never going to be able to walk again. They're going to have to take the leg off. Like, I don't remember if you remember that, Ethan, but I do remember you waking up to me, like, me being like,
I remember that. You were like, squawking, and I was like, Ian, are you all right?
I was like,
Ian just, my leg! Just hopping around.
But I remember waking up to a squawk and then not hearing anything for like a minute, and then,
Man, the beauty of scout camp is you're so tired. I slept in some of the worst places on scouting trips because you're so tired that you just, like... I slept on just bare gravel one time. I remember that. Do you remember that the week of camp where we all ended up... Ethan and Nathan and I all ended up sleeping on top of picnic tables because we were too lazy to move back into the tents.
Can I say...
Oh, that was a dumb trip.
They make a terrible bed. I also have a story about that. I think I'll save it for later.
Okay.
Or another episode. But it involves one of the worst weeks of my life at NYLT camp.
Oh, joy. Ooh. Ethan and I also did that together.
Yeah. Whew. That's some bad stories.
All right. That was good, Roland. I like that.
I did like that.
You got some intrigue. Now we got to wait for Alex's response. His clap back. Maybe he's got some weird Roland sleeping stories.
Yeah. Oh, maybe.
Who knows?
I think so.
Bryce?
Can we talk about my curse real quickly?
I would like to talk about your curse.
So, something's happened to me this week.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but somehow I've been forced to face just all of just the worst scenarios possible for some reason. Someone has put a curse on me in which people get mad at me for things that I have no control over. Like, I'll be acting completely normal and someone will just get really mad at me, or I'll just be in a really awkward situation that is not by my control at all.
Okay.
And I don't even want to talk about a lot of it, but I will bring up one specific story that really just is the icing on the cake.
Okay.
So, July 4th, I go to see the fireworks in Carrollton. It's cool. Mm. I'm with my friends, Andrew and Josh. Shout out Andrew and Josh. Mm. They're not listening to this. They're probably playing GTA somewhere.
Okay.
But anyway, so I'm with them. We decide, you know what, we're going to hit up Cookout. It's like 10 o'clock at night, you know, only cool people hang out at Cookout at 10 o'clock at night. I mean, there's no sketchy people at Cookout at 10 o'clock at night ever. So we enter this Cookout, and the line's moving slow because it's Cookout. And, you know, there are 15 milkshakes behind in the line. And there's a man, and I don't know if all Cookouts are like this. Ian and Ethan, I'm assuming you guys know what the inside of the Cookout looks like in Carrollton.
Yes.
There are some benches to the left of the line, like as soon as you walk in the door.
Yeah.
And they lead all the way to the register. So you could just slide down the benches if you wanted to.
Yeah.
So me and Josh and Andrew walk in, and I look to my left, and there's a guy sitting on the bench as if he's maybe in line, and he's looking at me like he's kind of annoyed. So I go, because we were already in the line, so I'm like, maybe he's like in the line. He's like, why'd you just like walk past me? Like, skip. He's just trying to like sit and slide through the line without actually standing up. So I say, I'm not exaggerating, I said, hey, are you in the line? And he goes, why are you asking me such stupid questions? Man, are you good? Why are you asking me such stupid questions? And he went on for like solid 2 minutes just saying that over and over with a couple of expletives thrown in there for good measure, which I won't say on this podcast.
Okay.
Just keeps going on and on. And I eventually, okay, immediately after he comes off aggressive, I turn my head because if you come at me aggressive for something that I did not do anything about, I'm not going to engage you. So I just look ahead of me.
That's that customer service training at work. You work in customer service a little bit, and that just becomes your response. Just shut down.
True. Yep. Just ignore.
If you stare into middle space long enough, they'll leave.
So he keeps going on. He says something to Andrew, too. He's like, hey, are you good? Andrew's like, yeah, man, I'm good. We go further down the line. The guy behind us, who's clearly not even with us, steps up to right next to the guy. The guy goes, you got any stupid questions for me, too? And the guy goes, man, I didn't even look at you. And, like, he's just, like, going down the line, apparently. Just roasting people for no reason.
Man, I didn't even look at you.
Man, I didn't even look at you. It's the equivalent of just, like, putting your hands up. Just like, yeah.
This is not my problem.
And the icing on the cake, this is the icing on the cake. Mm. Because I said the story was the icing on the cake.
Okay. Yeah.
I got a cheesecake milkshake, which was, number one, terrible. Number two, took forever to come to our table. And while we're sitting there at the table, people from the line keep walking past us and going, man, I would have slapped him right in the face if I was you. I'm like, oh,
so,
my.
Well,
this is just the worst.
I decided not to.
Yeah.
I'm like...
You're like, thanks for that input. I chose, one, I chose the valid thing. Two, maybe if I was like approximately twice my size. But
yeah. I don't know if you've noticed. I'm 5'7".
I'm not a striking figure at first glance. I'm not an intimidating
button-up I'm wearing like color coordinated July 4th outfit. Does it look like I'm ready to brawl someone in a cookout? But you know,
Bryce. Since you said that, I'm gonna have to question you. What would you be your ideal outfit to brawl somebody in a cookout?
My ideal outfit to brawl somebody in a cookout.
Made of vibranium.
Ooh, that's good. I was gonna go with one of those T-Rex costumes that blows up. Because that's sure to be a hit on Vine, right?
I was gonna go with American flag.
I feel like that'd be a nice airbag, too.
Like it would just like, American flag shorts, no shirt.
We're losing Ian.
Another pair of American flag shorts on the head.
Okay.
You cut out there.
I cut out? That was my whole... Okay, well, now I'm going to say it again, but I'm not going to cut this out, because they're going to have to hear me say it twice.
Okay.
American flag shorts, no shirt, oiled skin, and another pair of American flag shorts on my head.
Oh, that's so good. Chubbies. They're both pairs of chubbies.
Yes, they're both pairs of chubbies.
That's awesome.
So let me ask you this. How do I get rid of this curse that has befallen me? Do I have to yell at someone else in a cookout?
Yes.
He was the first incident, so he could have given it to me. This could have been him.
He was so angry because he was just trying to get rid of it. It had plagued him for days. Now you're going to be drawn, you're going to be slowly drawn to the same level as him. But maybe you need to stoop lower to get it out extra. Maybe you need to go to a crystal. Just pick a fight with somebody. The first person.
I think you should go to the Sonic and just find the guy with the biggest and loudest truck. And that's who you need to
fight. The guys. They're all equal at Sonic. They've all got the biggest and loudest trucks.
I have a theory as to how to get rid of the curse.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to cradle that man like Madame Zeroni, and you must take him to the top of the cookout so that he can drink from the what was the flavor of milkshake you had?
Cheesecake.
Just no flavor, just cheesecake.
It was like, I don't even know what it was. It was so bad. I think it was like,
I'm thinking blue.
It was chocolate chip cheesecake.
Chip cheesecake. Okay. All right. I'm ready now. All right. You must take Madame Zeroni up to the cookout so she can drink from the chocolate chip cheesecake milkshake and grow her strength too. And you got to raise her pigs. Mm. But just a guess.
Okay.
That seems plausible.
I think if you find the offending man and you kiss him squarely on the forehead, that will lift the curse. Now, may present you with another curse. But it'll lift the one that you have currently.
The curse of an STD of some kind. Anyway.
Alright.
What if you went out in the rain and started yelling at God, and then you got the powers of Bible Man because you found a Bible in the dirt in the
Is that what happened in that movie?
I feel like that's the origin story.
Is that how Bible Man got his powers?
I really kind of thought that was it.
I gotta be honest.
It's been probably at least a decade since I even thought about Bible Man.
I was about to end the podcast.
I watched that movie.
I was about to end the podcast, but we're going to talk about Bible Man now.
I watched that movie. So when I was the right age to watch that movie when I watched it,
Ethan,
and I still thought it was so boring.
Would anyone like to guess?
I cannot tell you what happened.
Would anyone like to guess what IMDb rating?
I gotta be honest. I think we lost Ian.
Oh, did you get me back? Yeah, am I here? Am I here? I have you guys.
Ian, are you there?
Hello?
Ian? Brother?
Hello?
Willie Ames. I feel like Willie Ames is more famous than I'm thinking.
Wait, Ian, are you back?
Oh.
Ian?
Yeah, you're right. Finds a Bible in the mud, covered in mud.
Yes!
After finding it, he experiences a burning desire to know God and becomes a Christian.
Am I back?
All right, everybody leave
call. No, I'm back.
We're going to have to come. Oh, he's back.
I'm back.
Stop what you're doing. Don't leave.
Stop what you're doing. I'm back. I want to talk about Bible Man. I'm here.
Okay.
Right. Ian's going to edit all that out.
I'm not going to edit that rant out. Because they need to hear my desperation. All right. We're back. I'm back. We're here to talk about Bible Man. This episode's going to go long because I can't not talk about Bible Man.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay.
All
right.
Have you guys already Googled it? Did you spoil this for you? Because I was going to have you guys guess what IMDb rating it got. Have you already seen that?
Oh, no, we haven't.
No.
I haven't.
All right. Give me a number. If you're not familiar, IMDb is 0 to 10. I don't know if they can actually give 0. 1 to 10. What IMDb rating?
1 to 10?
Please tell me.
I'm going to guess sub 2 got to be. There's no way it's surpassed a 2.
Okay.
Less than a 2. I've never seen one with that low of a rating on IMDb. I'm going to go 5.4.
Okay. Ethan?
I'm going to go 3.7.
I think Ethan's going to be
pretty good.
I think Ethan's going
to
be right.
Yeah. I think Ethan was the closest. Well, not really the closest, but it depends. It was a 2.6, which is the lowest IMDb score I think I've ever seen.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
2.6?
2.6.
Okay. Wait, all right. Here, scroll
you
up.
Said right, sub so two. You said to, sub 2, which is technically closer, but... You did say you did include the sub part, so like it was above 2. So Ethan was the closest, I think. Yes. So 2.6. Bible Man is an American Christian direct-to-video children's series created by Willie Ames. They ran from 1995 to 2010. What? Wait.
2010.
What?
Are you kidding?
Hold on. Oh, I have to investigate.
Bible Man, the animated series.
Got launched in 2016, guys.
Oh, my gosh. This should be a game. If I had more time, I would make this into one of those games where you have to guess whether it's real or not. But instead, I'm just going to read you the villain names.
Oh, wait. That's what I was looking at. Okay, all right. Here, there's one in particular that just really enraptured.
Is it Dr. Decepto?
No. Here's what really got me is they somehow got the ability to name one of their villains Ludacris.
I was looking at that.
Hey, it's me, Ludacris. I hate the Bible.
Don't worry, though.
Let me burn all the Bibles.
Don't worry, though. Ludacris is the evil sidekick of Luxor Spondroth. Which is the word I relish saying. Of course, there's Primordius Drool.
Slash the wacky protester.
What? Yeah. There's Rapscallion P.
You guys are just saying words.
Wait,
Rapscallion P. Sinister. I think I just found my new, what's it called when an author has like my new pen name? That's gonna be my pen name from now on.
Oh my!
Rapscallion B. Sinister.
Oh my goodness! Moly. Wait, I love too cool for school.
Wait, Rapscallion P. Sinister was the villain fought by Bible Man in the 2005 live show.
Live show.
Live show. Hold on.
What?
Live? Oh.
There can't be a live show.
Hold on. Subsection 4, Bible Man live performances. The live show. The live show has been described.
Where'd the audience come the live from? Show, who would go to let, a Bible me, Man show?
Let me read you this. Let me read you this. The live show has been described as falling between a high-budget Sunday school pageant, a Batman movie, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That is too much. Holy cow. Okay, all right, here, hold on.
I must find a video
something, of this. So... One of the villains is named Too Cool for School, spelled
Too Cool number for School. 2,
capital K-U-L, and then school is spelled the same way, so it's Too Cool for School. Guess who he is played by? Guess who he's played by?
Nicolas Cage.
I just read it.
Jeff Dunham.
What?
Puppeteer Jeff Dunham.
Oh my god. Jeff Dunham! What?
Oh my gosh. Alright, wait. Hold on. I just ruined that. Alright. It's Jeff Durham. I'm so disappointed.
I was about to be like, what?
I wanted it to be Jeff Dunham so badly.
That would have been amazing.
I did too. Okay. Wait. I found a Jeff Durham. Let's see. Let's just read his bio. Oh, not much. Okay.
Does it mention Bible Man or not?
No.
Notable. I scratch that from my IMDb record.
I am now going to begin watching a video entitled on YouTube titled Bible Man : Live 2000. People are currently chanting Bible Man. Oh my, there's a Star Wars scroll in the beginning. Okay.
No. We have to end this episode.
Oh no.
It's
oh
the no. recording's at 100 at an hour and 22 minutes.
This video is 45 minutes long.
What?
And it is a full
Bible show.
Man live stage production. I'm gonna send this to all of you. This is your homework for next
guys,
week.
Where was this stage production though? Where was it performed?
Madison Square Garden.
Las Vegas.
I don't know. Wait.
Probably a church somewhere.
Wow. There's a lot of people here. I don't know. It doesn't say where it is. Wow.
I bet it was Westboro Baptist Church.
This is probably the event that spawned that church, if we're being honest.
Bible Man caused the Westboro Baptist Church to exist.
Oh,
I just sent you guys a YouTube
link. That would be hilarious.
Link.
Plot twist.
Later. All right. We will assuredly talk about Bible Man again. I'm so glad you brought him up, Roland. That made me the happiest I've been in a long time. All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you to everyone for listening. Sorry for the jumping around due to internet issues. Thank you, Roland, for being on the podcast. It has been a genuine pleasure.
It was a true pleasure, Roland.
Thank you, pleasure.
Very good.
Thank you so much for
We'd
having me.
We'd love to have you back
it was,
on.
I'd love to be back on. This is so much fun.
Come back anytime.
I've been dreaming about this for a while.
We will get our people to talk to your people, and we'll get you back on pronto.
We'll talk to your agent.
Hold
on a second.
Our agent will talk to your
Before
agent.
Before we end this.
Okay, come on.
Everybody knows we have to end on a funny note. Roland, give us something to work with here. Give us a joke. Give us something.
To give us a joke? Oh, my. Okay, here. Quick camp story. Because I thought about this really quick. So I was a cabin counselor last year, which means that the campers stay, like I stay in the cabin with them. And like, if they need anything in the night, then they like come get me. So one night, I hear like some whispering in the bathroom. I'm like, oh, these kids are trying, like just being rotten or whatever, just talking in the bathroom. And I was like, I'll let this go on for like a few more like seconds, and then I'm gonna go in there and like bust them up or whatever. But before
bust
I can
bust them up,
but before I can do that, one of them comes up to me, and he's like, "Hey, there's an issue in the bathroom." And I was like, "Okay."
You never want to hear that.
So I go in there, and it turns out there was not multiple people whispering in the bathroom. There was one kid who had clogged the toilet, and it was overflowing. And it was,
gosh,
no joke, it was an inch deep of like all over the bathroom floor. Had not seeped into the rest of the cabin, but it's an inch deep of poop water. No. And I was like, yo, this is like 12:30 a.m. And I'm like, goodness gracious. Ugh. So like the toilet is still flushing at this point. So I go in, I stop it from flushing. But I'm barefoot at this point because I don't wear shoes to sleep. Maybe I need to start, but I stop the toilet from flushing, and then I'm just like so confounded that I go out on the porch where the other counselors like are still like chatting up, having a good time, and they think I'm about to like complain to them about like how loud they're being, like keeping my campers up or something. And I just go, and like I was so just completely like did not know what to do in the slightest. And I was like, hey guys, I need some help with something. I don't really know where to go from here. But there's poop water all over my bathroom. And they're like, what? You can't be serious. I was like, yeah, just come on. I guess it can only be guys because it's a guy's cabin. And they're like, okay. And we just got a bunch of towels. And just soaked up all the water, and we bleached and like did like the comet all over the floor, and we just did a huge load of towels and like cleaned and dried them. And it like the entire time, like the light is on in the bathroom, just like keeping all my kids up. I'm like, guys, I know it's funny, but like please just try to be quiet and go to sleep. It was like one of the most ridiculous things I've ever had to do as a camp counselor. I was like, my goodness.
Wow. All right. That's a true story. Little did you know, this whole time listening to Roland's voice, you were listening to a true poop whisperer.
Poop wisp. Thank you for listening to the podcast.
Thank you for listening.
My name is Bryce Cornicelli.
My name is
We're
Ian
coming
Cornicelli.
In hot as always at the end. Thank you, Roland, the poop whisperer, the most interesting podcaster in the universe. Thanks for being on. I'm sure we'll have him
shout
on at another
to
point.
McKenzie.
We'll shout share out to more McKenzie. Memes. Shout out to McKenzie.
Shout out to McKenzie.
Don't do drugs. Don't yell at people in cookout.
Dare to resist drugs.
Don't clone Ian. And don't clone Ian, please. All right, bye.
Bye.